Okay, today we're kicking off Christmas.
Finally, I can listen to Christmas music and not get looked at weird.
Finally, I've only been doing that since September 1st. we have a companion devotion called Unwrapped Christmas that is hitting the stores. It's dropping any day now. No, it's going to be on YouVersion as well as our website probably the first part of December. So it corresponds with this. This is called Christmas Unwrapped. So this is our first episode of four with the theme of Christmas. Mm-hmm. So episode one here is talking about not overcrowding our schedules.
Ooh.
Yes, seems impossible. So in our pursuit of celebrating Christmas, we often fill our schedules to the point of pain, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so we kind of sacrifice our peace and we lose our focus all in the name of the season.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm filling out a bingo card when I look at my calendar.
You know? Right, right. Filling it up quick. It's like, man, look at all the fun I'm having. And then as soon as you start to do some of those, you're like, oh, my goodness, I have overbooked and I am stressed out.
Yeah.
So there's a study that revealed that 38% of people experienced increased stress during the holidays, mainly due to time constraints. I was surprised that is that low.
Probably because it's time constraint focused instead of like in-law focused or financial focused.
That's a whole different study.
Yeah, that's a different study, different number. But right. I think there's this, like this, we always talk about, like here we talk about pendulum, right? So this feeling of during the year, you are, you know, focusing on work, school, X, Y, Z. You finally have some free time. So your brain's like, oh, we need to have fun, right? And fun must be had at all costs. And then what ends up happening is you burn yourself out and you focus on, well, my calendar should be packed at the brim. Mm. And now I'm like, I'm doing 17 Christmases in one day.
Right.
You know, 1 year we did 3 Christmases in one day, me and my wife.
Oh,
and
boy.
We made a promise to ourselves that would never happen again. That was the most stressful. I mean, I know a couple of couples in our life group that have done several Christmases in a day. And one of them is like their parents live like 5 minutes from each other. So they ain't getting out of that kind of
thing.
Yeah. But there was one that we'd spoken to recently that talked about how one of them lives in Ohio and the other's in Texas. And so like they spent the week prior and after just like flip-flopping between the two.
Oh my goodness!
And I was like, "Yeah, no. That where do you fit you in there?"
Like,
in
you
that
said Ohio and Texas.
Yeah,
those are not even close to each other.
Not even close. So they were. I told them they should get a Daytona 500, you know, ticket punch. That way, when they're making their laps, they can like, you know, keep track.
They could both live in Texas and not be near each other.
Yeah, right. So but yeah, I think it's very easy to do. In like. Well, we got, you know, the holiday Christmas party with the work, and then your church has an event,
right.
And then we got to go see my parents, your parents. We got to go, you know, get gifts for the kids. And next thing you know, you're like, oh, I have 10 minutes on this day where I can sit down and, like, get myself a cup of peppermint mocha coffee.
Happy
or whatever.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they call it the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season for a good reason.
Sure. But last year we did a devotion call. It's the most stressful time of the year, playing off that song.
Yeah.
So, you know, this year you can all be off the hook coming to see us for Christmas. I'll just tell mom you hate her. So don't worry about it. So the first talking point is the myth of the perfect Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that while fulfilling Christmas is about doing more, we're going to kind of talk about what is true fulfillment when it comes to focusing on Christ or Christ-centered activities around Christmas. And so, you know, when you were discussing your calendar, it made me think of like, well, oh, how many Christmas parties are you invited to or having, right? It's like, well, right now, none. You know, and there's probably people who hear that and say, wow, how lonely you must be. No friends, no family, no parties? There are some people out there who choose not to do a ton around Christmas so they can focus on what Christmas actually means to them, which, if you're a believer, it's the birth of our Savior.
Right.
Despite him not being born in this time of year.
We don't talk about that.
But the myth of the perfect Christmas. I mean, what is one of the first things? Let's just say that you were an unbeliever. You're just kind of like, this is a Monday for you, because that's what falls this year. What do you think the number one thing is for you at this time of year? What is like your number one priority?
Probably like just getting all the gifts, right? Like having enough time to run around and get all the things. I mean, I think a lot of like those movies that we watch every year in Christmas, we have that list of Christmas movies, what we walk through as our tradition. And I look back at all of them and go, how many of them are about one dude who's trying really hard to make that perfect Christmas?
Right.
I mean, Jingle All the Way, you have, you know, Christmas Vacation.
Christmas is about the perfect, you know, like snow at the lodge for Christmas. You
so,
know?
I mean, it must be very built into our DNA to be like, well, I want the perfect Christmas.
Die Hard, killing all those people on Christmas. I mean, it's a perfect Christmas movie.
Yeah. But the fact that there's so many movies out there centered around this idea that, well, if I can get the perfect Christmas, and then you walk away from all those movies, that's like, that's never what the focus should be or what creates the most memorable Christmas in any of the circumstances. Right. But I mean, yeah, if you're not focused on, you know, Christ's birth and the manger and, you know, Advent and the like, I mean, I guess you just roll out of Thanksgiving with Black Friday and then you just don't stop shopping again. I guess until Christmas.
I'm going to say, I have been getting Black Friday advertisements for the last month.
Yep.
And because we do a lot of marketing about Black Friday, last 6 months. It started in July.
Yep.
I felt like Hobby Lobby. So the next one is a spiritual and mental health. So we talk about the impact of a hectic schedule on our spiritual walk and our mental well-being. I mean, I'm not quite sure. I always save Sundays. I don't want to plan anything, right? I don't, even family functions, I don't want to do anything. I have to keep it free, my one downtime. Saturday, it's always like errands and chores and whatever. But Sunday, I try to not do anything. And for 5 months of the year, football helps me do that. But around the holiday season, you could see that we rarely take time to not do anything. You feel like, I should be doing something.
Right.
And so, although it's interesting that we were talking about the spiritual and mental health, because I think we start to stress, which affects our mental peace, and then that affects our spiritual peace, and it's this circular thing that we get into. And that's why when you get together at family functions, it's never, man, it's great to see you. It's almost like, you again? Didn't we just do this 12 months ago?
Didn't we do this at Thanksgiving? I just saw you in my house.
Didn't we have an argument like last month?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see how deep a connection there is between mental health and spiritual health. I mean, they're just so tied so closely together that when one suffers, the other one does as well.
Right.
And it's easy to see that spiraling down. I mean, the holiday blues is a huge thing right now.
Oh,
people being lonely and, you know, just dealing with shorter days for a lot of people is a huge thing with mental health. And with all the hustle and bustle, I think we almost try to convince ourselves where it's like, I'm doing all these things so I don't have to think about how, you know, down I am or how maybe I'm not focused on the right things because all these shiny, glittery bits grabbing my attention. Because, you know, the marketing thing, right? I mean, they've been priming that pump for Black Friday for a while. I mean, once the day of gratefulness for Thanksgiving rolled around, everyone's like, cool, I've said my piece about being thankful. Now give me the stuff. And it just continues.
Let me see what's on sale, where I got to stand tomorrow morning, what line I'm going
to
be in.
Yeah. So I think it's really important, especially at this time frame, to really buckle down and focus on your spiritual walk, especially with the new year right around the corner too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't have to be the new year, but I know for a lot of people, having a new year as kind of a starting point really helps reset and refocus, right. even if it's, you know, arbitrary in the grand scheme of things. But starting off with a good baseline, even prior to that, is a really good way to put yourself in the right direction.
Well, that kind of brings us to our verse. You have it there, right? Luke 10:41-42.
Let's see if I can dig around for that.
It's about Martha and Mary.
Martha and Mary. Making a reappearance.
Yes. Yes. Getting too busy for not reading a room, basically.
All right. Luke 10:41-42. Yeah. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her."
I love that. Mary has chosen the good portion. Mm-hmm. How many times do you finish your Christmas season and think, "I chose the good portion of this Christmas season"? I don't know if we all were truthful with ourselves that we've chosen that. We may have put Christ in the same group, grouping in a pile of the things we do, but to say we chose the good portion, which means that we've chosen that one thing to focus our attention on that day. Mm-hmm. And so, that's why I thought it was a great... These next four are going to be very identifiable with people, because we've probably been dealing this every year since we've been aware of Christmas.
Yeah.
So that is our first segment. Stay tuned as we pick up on the other side for segment two, talking about a new pain point. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner, delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Viking Mergers. Sell your business? Viking Mergers and Acquisitions can help. With 25 plus years of experience and 800 successful sales, we're experts in securing maximum value. Get your free business valuation now at vikingmergers.com or call 866-592-9467. All right, segment two is talking about, we often get so caught up in the external preparations for Christmas that we neglect the true spiritual significance. So, an old stat for you. It says about 69% of people feel overwhelmed by the lack of time during the holidays. Before, it was talking about scheduling and stressing out about that. Mm-hmm. But this is, they feel overwhelmed because they don't have enough time. You ever see that person who they start shopping for Christmas stuff like in September? You're like, "I got everything wrapped, it's all done." And then you see that guy, he's in the mall, it's Christmas Eve, and he is trying to find, through leftovers, the perfect gift for someone, right?
I mean, jingle all the way. Just described the premise of that entire movie.
Right. So, feeling overwhelmed by the lack of time during the holidays. I mean, it's weird that we do this to ourselves. And it's probably about the same number of days as, like, what, 4 or 5 other months of the year. It's not like December has, like, well, this one only has 8 days.
Right.
It's, you know, so... So our talking points are talking about prioritizing spiritual growth, encouraging the discussion on how making spiritual activities like Bible study, prayer, and a service part of our Christmas. Now, this is that moves right into what we refer to as CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas and Easter only, right?
Yeah.
People only attend church during that time. I guess, praise God, they attend those two. They probably were confused where they were going to end up at church, or they're drugged there by someone.
Mm.
But if we could focus or make time for maybe doing an Advent study, is a great way to do or focus yourself, your focus on Christ at Christmas. Setting aside a time to pray specifically about maybe upcoming events, mm-hmm. like holiday gatherings yeah. with family. That might be a great way to make a better event.
Pray for some patience.
Pray for that gathering. So
yeah. I mean, I think one of the good, a good portion of a Bible study is to do one as a family, right? Like if you're, you know, sure. you know, with your wife, girlfriend, kids, that way you can center all of you and right. keep you accountable as well.
Sure.
Because I think, you know, as guys, we kind of struggle with accountability sometimes when it comes to this kind of stuff. And so having either, you know, your family or, you know, another brother in Christ or, you know, your father, someone in your life that can kind of, you can do it with and do life with and do these Bible studies and even pray with, can really help you keep you on track. I know you just were telling me about the book that you're reading, Praying Through the Bible.
Yes.
That may be a really great one to mention as a kind of segue.
That is, so in our small group, our leader was talking about this book. And so it's a very short read. It's called Praying the Bible by Donald S. Whitney. Hmm. Pray the Bible. It's very good. It's about maybe a 2-hour listen on Audible. So it's a very small book, but it's talking about, instead of saying the same things about the same things, it's using the Psalms to help you pray and stay focused instead of your mind wandering of wherever it goes during prayer. And so that's a great way, you know, a study to help you focus on a consistent basis on the meaning of Christ, on meaning of Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, the main focus would just be consistency, right? Like whether yeah. it's you pray through one psalm a day, a verse a day, something. Just consistency through this time frame, because when things get hectic, and they will mm-hmm. during this time frame, having a constant thread throughout your life, especially your spiritual walk right now, can really be a rock for you during these hectic times.
Right. We so focusing on celebrations during Christmas or, you know, during the holidays, I'm always reminded by this. We had everybody over for Christmas, and this was a lady who was one of our in-laws. It was like 2 or 3 away from us, and we pulled out a birthday cake, and it said, "Happy birthday, Jesus." Or did it say it on there? I think it did mm-hmm. say it on there. But she walked up and she didn't read it. We were lighting the candles and like a couple of goobs were going to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus song. But she walked up and said, not a crazy question. She's like, "Oh, whose birthday is it?" Mm-hmm. Thinking it's somewhat a legitimate question. And yeah. I said, "Oh, we just kind of celebrate the birth of Christ on Christmas." She looked at me like I had a third eye. She's like, "What? What kind of weirdo are you?" And so focusing on celebrations that help as a family mm-hmm. Focus on Christ. Be weird. Make a cake for Christ. Do that. I think I highly encourage that. Cake is always great. but do you know of any other families who do things specifically to put Christ in their holidays?
I know there's a couple in our group, our Bible study. They read
the
Christmas story, the manger story, every year, Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty big one. I had not met anyone else that does the Christmas cake like we did, or Jesus cake. I thoroughly enjoyed that because I know when I was younger and you explained it to me, it made me reframe what Christmas was.
Sure.
Just because it's different. It's, yeah. you know, it's like, oh yeah, presents, yippee-ki-yay. But hey, you know, the reason that we're doing this is for Jesus.
Sure.
And I think that's something that you can really do for younger children because they can understand that a little better than, you know, this, you know, ethereal mental thing going
right.
on.
Right.
I know a lot of people that will go to Billy Graham libraries near us. And so mm-hmm. they'll do that every year.
I did that last year. Yeah.
And there's there used to be a manger nativity activity at the Speedway near us in North Carolina,
right.
That a lot of couples and a lot of people that we knew would participate in, just be, you know, random stand-ins for Joseph and
That's
Mary.
Right. That's right. Let the record show, I was a wise man 4 years running.
I would like to be in Joseph because he was near the heater. So it's very cold is what I remember.
If Ozzy Osbourne had his fat years, that would be me wearing that robe and that wig. But yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. It was the town of Bethlehem,
yep.
I think it was, yeah.
So, I mean, there's things that you definitely can do. I mean, I know there's plenty of smaller churches out there that will do, like, caroling, you know, whether that's at their church, going walking around. Or mm-hmm. I know we're close by McGinnis Village, and they used to have really big manger scenes that we did every year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely lots of things out there. You may have to like do a little digging to find them, but I think it's really great talking points for you, your family, your friends to kind of go there, and so you can kind of refocus down on what you're really there for, you know?
Sure, because, I mean, Santa's going to have his moment, right? He's going to be in songs and TV and all that kind of stuff.
Drinking the Coca-Cola.
Right, him and his Coke habit. So let's see if we can put Christ back in Christmas as much as we possibly can. So our verse is Matthew 6:33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well."
Mm.
And so, as we kind of wrap this up, we'll end it with a challenge that says, reflect on one particular event or commitment this Christmas season. Assess its role in enhancing your family's spiritual walk. That's a great challenge for all of us, mm-hmm. even when it's not Christmas, but especially when it is. So, hope you enjoyed this first installment of Christmas Unwrapped. Be sure to join us next week as we dive into our second topic, which is reconnecting with relatives and friends.
Ooh, the family gathering.
Get your gloves out. If you're going to be something, be uncommon.